This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Let us pray. Our Father, we do praise Thee and thank Thee that Thou hast given us the privilege of prayer, the privilege of coming to Thy throne of grace through that new and living way, through the shed blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus, in His precious name. And how we thank Thee that if we ask anything according to Thy will, Thou dost hear us. And if You hear us, then we know that You have we have the petition that we desire of Thee. Thank You for the privilege of prayer. Thank You for the privilege of asking and seeking and knocking with the assurance that Thou dost hear and answer. Oh, how precious Thou hast been this week, even this day, and we do praise Thee and thank Thee for it. And so we do ask that Thy Word will go forth in power and much assurance. Give us a broken heart to declare Thy Word today. Give us a love for sinners, a hatred for sin, and a longing to see sinners walk in the ways of the Lord, as they come by Thy Spirit to rest by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in His precious name that we pray. Amen.
Hear my humble
And I praise the Lord that he doesn't. As our scripture reading for today in Matthew 7 asks, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And I, for one, praise the Lord that he does hear and answer prayer, and that we have the way open whereby we can come to him to find mercy and obtain grace to help in time of need. What a blessing to be in Christ, washed in his blood, saved by his grace, and his mercies are new every morning, because great is his faithfulness. We're happy that you're with us today, and we pray the blessings of our gracious Lord to rest upon you. We thank you for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Continue to pray for us. We trust that you will. We request an interest in your prayers. We be true to the souls of men. Write us if we can help you. If you want a copy of these messages on the crimes of our times or in print, we'd be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. Today's message will be the fourth and the last in this series. And I pray that God will use it for his glory. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. As my Lord laid upon my heart this present series of messages on the crimes of our times, or the sins that have brought our great nation to the brink of eternal damnation and judgment, Isaiah 58:1 came time and again into my soul, and I cannot get away from its message, and it reads, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and their sins. And then also the message contained in Ezekiel 3, verses 17, 18, and 19 has also been upon my heart, where we find these words, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood shall I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And my dear friend, I have tried by the grace of God to lay before our hearts the sins of our times that are damning souls to hell. First I brought before you the sin of murder, thou shalt not kill, and showed God's judgment upon this sin of abortion that has swept our country today, the killing of our unborn children. Second, I brought before you the sins of adultery and fornication which have broken up our homes, ruined our families, and have swept untold millions of our young people into hell. Third, I brought before you the awful sin of sodomy, the utter perversion of lust by the lesbian and the homosexual as they sin willfully against God's word, his grace, his light, and his cross. The fourth sin that has swept our nation today and is damning its millions into hell is the sin of drunkenness. And I want you to listen. And I've cried that God would give us a tender heart. We may be able to preach in the pathos of our soul, for, dear friend, this is a sin that God hates. A sin that brings God's judgment just as surely as the sins of murder and adultery. And it's a sin that has damned its millions in our society. You see, the Bible is plain and powerful, and it speaks very plain and powerful because it classifies drunkenness with stealing, with murder, with idolatry, with adultery, and all other sins according to 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Listen to God's word. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, the sin of drinking and all that it leads to is condemned upon the pages of Holy Writ. Now, dear friend, I want you to listen to God's word today, not mine. Not the word of the liquor crowd, nor the word of some liquor-loving preacher or so-called Christian. Not the beautiful advertisements of magazines and newspapers, or what you hear on the radio or see on television, but I want you to listen to God's word. We find in Proverbs 21 these words, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." You see, nothing could be plainer than this. Any type of alcoholic beverage is, in the sight of God, a mocker and a deceiver. And then in Isaiah 5:11 we find this warning, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue into night till wine inflame them." My dear friend, here we have God's woe, God's judgment upon the drinking man or woman. It says that they are not wise because they are deceived by the demon of drink and abide under the judgment of God. The word of God is plain. Alcoholic beverages of any kind are condemned by God. Let's go further. I want you to hear one of the most vivid word pictures given anywhere in any literature, and it's found in God's word, as it paints a picture of the man or woman under the influence of alcohol. Listen. We read in Proverbs 23:29-35 these words. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" Then comes the answer to these questions. "They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine." Listen now, then comes the warning. "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." And why? "Because at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." Then comes the warning of the consequences of drinking. "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast." Then I want you to listen to the man, what the word of God says about the man who was so drunk that he did not know what he was doing. We're still in Proverbs 23. He says, "They have stricken me, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not." He was such in a state of stupor. And then hear what he says when he awakens from his stupor. "I will seek it yet again." And why? "Because drink has made him its slave, and back to it he must go because of its power over him." You see, dear friend, drinking brings its own curse. For it bites as a snake and leaves its venom in the inward parts of the man or woman caught in its snare. For drink makes a man its slave. And there's no argument to that statement, my friend. We all know that that is so. We see it on every hand today. Our hospitals, rehabilitation centers, halfway houses, jails, and insane asylums are filled with men and women who have become slaves to drink, telling in bold truth the enslavement of its power. Brilliant minds of men and women in every walk of life have been lost to society and everything that is good because of drink, as they have become slaves to its power. Presidents and officers of great companies given over to drink have slipped down the ladder of society until they have become the dregs of society. Homes have been wrecked and marriages torn asunder because of this demon of drink. Children have been murdered by drunken fathers and mothers and have gone naked and hungry because all the money has gone for liquor or beer. Drink has filled our divorce courts and has left in its path wrecked lives and homes scattered upon the face of our land. And as if that we're not enough. Our society is paying billions every year for the upkeep of those whose lives and homes and dignity have been wrecked because of the demon of sin. The demon of the sin of drink. My dear friend, a person caught in the clutches of drink is worse than a beast because he cannot quit. The words of Proverbs 23:35 become the words of every man and woman who drink. I will seek it yet again. Yes, after the woe of the wine cup has brought them sorrow, pain, wounds without cause, and 101 other evils, they cling to its horror as a miser to his gold. Why? The only possible answer lies in the fact that they are helplessly and hopelessly ensnared in the clutches of its habit and cannot quit because they're under its power. Our Lord said in John 8:34 that indulgence in any sin leads to slavery. Listen to God's word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. No matter what the sin may be, indulgences for pleasure soon become indulgence by force, a slave to sin. Especially is this true of liquor. The occasional social glass becomes a repeated glass to steady the nerves until finally no amount can calm or satisfy the raging passion. Everyone of the sound of my voice today can think of some family, some friend, some loved one whose life has been ruined by drink. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Our papers are filled every day with the crimes that are committed by drunken fools. They say, I did it when I was drunk, thinking that they are excused because before God and man just because they were temporarily out of their minds. My dear friend, God holds a man responsible for what he does, whether he is sober or drunk. Haven't we seen in our newspapers in the last couple of months our very elected officers in Washington, when they got caught in sin because of drinking, and the problem got greater than they knew what to do with? They got into all kinds of sin. They said, I did it because I was drunk, as if that excused their behavior. Oh, no. God holds a man responsible for what he does, whether he is sober or drunk. My dear friend, drinking brings sorrow, and we know that it does. Yet liquor and beer are sold freely. Profits are reaped from them. And our society condones them as something necessary. My dear friend, strong drink is not necessary. It is something to flee from, to leave, and never indulge in. We do not have to have it to live. My young person, I warn you today, you're playing with your soul. I don't care how pleasing the ads on television and radio make it. You do not have to have it. What did Proverbs 23 say? Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. And why? Because it biteth like a serpent. Listen again to that 29th and 30th verse. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. And my dear friend, the path of the intemperate man is a trail of tears and sorrow and blood. I said it's a trail of tears and sorrow and bloodshed, and death stalks side by side with drinking. You and I know this is true. Know how this demon of drink has taken over. May God give us grace to turn from it. But I'd like to ask some questions. Where is the man who sells the stuff? Where is the man who gives them the license to sell it? Where are the men who passed the laws that allowed the stuff to be sold? Where are the men who make it and bottle it for consumption? Listen to me now. All are guilty before God for the murders of precious souls and the minds that go under. All are mixed up in it together. You said, Pastor, how can you say this? I say it because God's Word says it. Will you listen to God's Word? Not my word, but God's word. Listen to Habakkuk 2:15. Listen. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. What an indictment before God. Did you hear that? Every man who gives his neighbor a drink and every man who sells another a drink is under the woe or judgment of God. That does not sound good, does it? Under the wrath of God when we give our neighbor drink, liquor and beer and wine or any alcoholic beverage? My friend, these are not my words. They are the words of God who cannot lie. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also. I want you to remember these words, you fathers and you mothers who teach your children to drink and give them to drink. Remember these words, every one of you, when you give or sell alcoholic beverages to another. Remember, you are under God's wrath. And I want you to especially remember at these holiday seasons which we are in, when wine and liquor will flow like water, and there'll be parties abounding and bottles given. Don't you know that in doing this you're under the judgment of God? I didn't say this. God said it. Let's go further. One of the saddest and most cruel stories that I've ever read about this demon of drink came out of Los Angeles, where a man was left by his party-going wife to take care of the baby. Before the wife left, she put the baby to sleep and moved its crib to the living room, placing it near the fireplace. When the wife returned in the wee hours of the morning, she found her husband passed out on the floor drunk, an empty whisker bottle by his side bearing mute evidence as to the cause of the mangled, mutilated form in the crib. Drunken frenzy had caused this inhuman beaut to heat a poker from the fireplace till it turned red and white with heat. When it became hot enough to suit his madness, he plunged that poker into the nostril of that sleeping bottle of sweetness. And when the child awoke screaming, he jammed the sizzling poker down its throat. Then repeatedly, in torture too vile and sadistic to tell, the insane, whiskey-maddened father thrust the burning poker into every opening of that little baby's body until life had fled away. And then he said, "I did it when I was drunk." There are some of you who will tell me I should mind my own business, that I should not be angry and righteously indignant against that which would make a man worse than a beast. My dear friend, shall I condone alcoholic beverages which lead men and women to hell? I believe every person who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ should hate this traffic liquor of our day. Hate that which has turned our highways into murder traps. Hate that which has caused men and women to die by the millions. Hate that which has turned our homes into brothels. Hate that which has wrecked the minds of our young people. Hate that which has caused our young men and women to give themselves over every form of lust. Listen to me now. And hate that which most of our government leaders lean upon to help them make their important decisions. I believe every follower of Jesus Christ should pray for revival, for all-time Holy Spirit conviction of sin. Heed the word of the Lord which says, "And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, walking in righteousness and true holiness." My dear friend, I think it's time to stand up and be counted and stand out against sin. But once again, God's word calls drunkenness not disease, not sickness, but sin. And sin proceeds from an evil, wicked heart. Therefore, the only hope for a real cure of this sin of drunkenness is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed at Calvary for the remission of our sins. This sin must be faced squarely, dealt with in reality, named before God as sin, and confessed and repented of by the grace of God. My dear friend, it must be forsaken, given up in totality, never to be returned to again. And when this happens, then the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have trusted, will come into your life by faith, in His Spirit, and He will give you strength to hold on your way in a life of holiness and sobriety. I know He does, and I praise Him for it. Under each of you who know Christ in reality, let us pray for God's Spirit to work in our lives, in our families, in our communities, and across our land to deliver from the demon of drink, and to save these poor, precious souls who are caught in this mesh of Satan's, and to set sinners free in Christ. My dear friend, listen to me today. I love each one of you, and I've shown it by crying unto you this day to stop drinking, to flee from the sin of drunkenness, and to walk in the only life worth living, that is the life of sobriety in Christ, who gives life more abundantly in His Spirit. And I pray that God would give us at least one soul today that would hear the word of the Lord and the cry of the voice of this poor preacher who hates this sin and its results. The Holy Spirit would cause you to hear and turn unto the living God for the power over the sin. He might save you and deliver you and make you a new creature in Christ and give unto you that which is needful for every day, and that's the Spirit of the living God to work in you, to cause you to walk in a life of sobriety. You'll want a copy of these messages, especially the one today, free and postpaid, if you'll write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.